This is Tofu Dave, your host for Between the Covers, a literature quickie, with another great book for you, 100 Objects from the Collections of the YIVO Institute for Jewish Research. And I have on the line one of the most important people at the YIVO Institute, the Director of Collections. Stephanie, are you on the line?
I'm here, Dave. Thanks for that introduction.
Well, listen, I've known about the YIVO Institute for some time, but I have a feeling that many listeners, even though we're pretty educated here in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, by UNC, many listeners probably don't know anything about it. I happen to know the YIVO was established in, I think it was 100 years ago, 1925, probably in Europe. Tell us just a little background about what the heck is this YIVO Institute?
Sure. And you're right. We were founded in 1925 in Vilna, Poland, which is today Vilnius, Lithuania, and we are celebrating our 100th anniversary this year. We were founded by a group of scholars, intellectuals, and lay leaders who really understood the importance of collecting and studying the stuff of everyday Jewish life. So folklore, folk literature, folk medicine, you know, games that children played, curses that were heard in the marketplace. None of these things were, you know, really being collected by the traditional state record-keeping apparatus. And so YIVO collected these, and they collected tens of thousands of pieces of folk material in their first years of existence by having a network of zamlers or volunteer collectors who would go out armed with ethnographic questionnaires. What holiday customs do you participate in? And they wrote down all of the answers to all of the things that the informants said. And that's really how YIVO's collection started. And we collected and collected until World War II, when our collections were looted by the Nazis. And it's a very long, complicated history. I can go on.
Right. Well, I know actually my mother was Dutch and left the Netherlands as the Nazis advanced there and came to New York City. And it somewhat parallels the institutional changes of YIVO, as I understand it, as the Nazis started to occupy more and more of Europe. YIVO had to move to New York City, and I believe there was also a connection to Buenos Aires at the same time.
That's right. So YIVO had always had, YIVO was always a global institution with branches and collecting circles throughout the world. And one of those branches was the American branch of YIVO, which was established from YIVO's earliest days. When the war broke out, one of our founders, Max Weinreich, was out of Poland on a linguistics conference, and he wound up coming to America, coming to New York, and eventually in 1940, the headquarters of YIVO were officially transferred from Vilna to New York, and so this unbroken chain of succession was created between those two headquarters, and this would prove important after the war. So, as I said, our collections were looted by the Nazis. Some materials were saved by a group of individuals called the Paper Brigade, who smuggled materials out of the YIVO building and into the Vilna ghetto, buried those in bunkers, and dug them up after the war. And some materials were recovered at the Offenbach Archival Depot and eventually restituted to YIVO's new headquarters in New York in 1947. And it was about 1 million pages of documents that had been saved, maybe only a quarter of our pre-war holdings. And that really forms the core of our collections today, which now, if you can believe it, number 24 million documents, objects, photos, sound recordings, and about 400,000 volumes of books.
Oh my gosh. And how can you store all that in your New York City offices? Is there space for it all?
There's space for much of it. We have about three quarters of our materials here in our building, and we make these materials available for use by researchers either here in our reading room or we have, big digitization projects where we make materials available online. We have about 5.5 million materials digitized at this point. And we also, because we're in the middle of Manhattan, need to have a warehouse. And so about a quarter of our materials are stored offsite in our warehouse.
And Stephanie, I want to get into in a minute the book, 100 Objects, because it describes an amazing array of objects. But just for our listening audience who also may not know, I find it very interesting because the Institute was first, and I may not pronounce things completely correctly, but it was a Yiddisher, and I can't really say it, but the Yiddisher Scientific Institute, or the Jewish Scientific Institute, and many listeners here in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, I think, don't understand the difference between Yiddish, Jewish, Hebrew, all these words, and Yiddish is a language.
That's
Hebrew,
right.
Is a language. What is this Yiddish language?
Sure. So Yiddish is the language that was spoken by Ashkenazi Jews for 1,000 years. It's a Germanic language, but it's written in Hebrew characters. The alphabet that Hebrew and Yiddish are written in are the same. And for Jews, Yiddish was the language of everyday life. It was the language of the home. It was the language of the street, sort of in contrast to Hebrew, which was the holy language, the language of, you know, the holy books and of study.
So to some extent, one might say, and this will transition us into some of the objects in the book, that my understanding is Yiddish was sort of the common person's, the working man's language, so to speak, whereas Hebrew was more for study, for theory, religious theory, for the scholars of the Talmud and that sort of thing. Would that be, as an overgeneralization,
yes,
not too far off?
That's it. Yep. You've got those are the basic points.
Well, to transition into this wonderful tome that has come out to celebrate the anniversary of your institute, 100 Objects from the Collections of the YIVO Institute for Jewish Research. You obviously know much more about the collection than I, but there are a couple of objects in the book that stood out for me, and one is there's what's called a vitrine by Yosha Kalb. This is on page 108, 109, and your book is very interesting because for my listeners who don't have it in front of them, what the book does is there are really first-class photographs, both superb close-ups of little pieces and photographs of entire pieces, along with very informative descriptions of each piece, and these range from, all sorts of things, jewelry, pendants, posters, notebooks that people kept. And this particular object that I'm drawing our attention to, I find fascinating because I've almost never seen an object like this in Jewish archives. It's a vitrine, which is in some senses very similar to things you might see, say, in Latin America or Spain, where people create small sort of shrines in their home. And this is almost really a, I might say, a shrine to I'm not really sure, to all sorts of, when you look at it, hairy old men's heads all through it. Can you tell me a little about
that? Sure. I mean, yeah, so this vitrine, it's a very sort of, or beautifully carved wooden cabinet, and inside, as you've described, are these small paper mache heads. There's maybe, I don't know, 25 of them. And they represent all of the characters in one of the most sensational plays of the Yiddish stage put on by Mori Schwartz's Yiddish Art Theater. And the play is called Yosha Kalb. And the vitrine was made in 1933 by an actor and an amateur sculptor named Morris Strasberg. And he gives this to Maury Schwartz as a gift, sort of in honor of this, you know, the production of this play. And the faces are so lifelike, and you sort of pass by them and you feel like their eyes are following you. And now this vitrine lives in the stacks here in our building and in, you know, nice climate control. But it used to in YIVO's old building in New York, the Vanderbilt Mansion, it used to stand in the entryway. And so this is what would greet greet researchers and anyone coming into the YIVO building.
It's such an amazing object. I think nobody would fail to be moved by the expressions on all of these faces, really. Is there another particular object in the book, 100 Objects from the Collections of the YIVO Institute for Jewish Research, that pops out to you as being significant or important?
Sure. Well, you know, I think that all 100 objects are significant and important, which is why they made the book. But for me, something that that sort of was my first encounter here at YIVO is this beautiful iron hand seal press that would have been used by one of the thousands of Landsmannschaften that were spread throughout the country. A Landsmannschaft is a mutual aid organization that was set up by Eastern European immigrants when they came to this country, sort of to aid other immigrants from that particular town or location, and often to send money back to their, you know, to their towns, to those who were still in Eastern Europe. And it's this beautifully, you know, it's a beautiful lion with bronze finish. And the first time I walked into the stacks many, many years ago, I saw that the tops of some of the cabinets, the shelving cabinets, were lined with these embossers. And I thought, what's such a strange and weird and wonderful object that we have here at YIVO? We don't just have paper. We have things like this. And so the Landsmannschaft would use it to emboss all of their papers and sort of give the official seal. And you think of this as something that, you know, government agencies do. And so, you know, just to lend this additional air of you know, official business, I think is wonderful.
Right, and I think one of the things your book does, it memorializes the tradition in the Jewish culture of mutual aid and mutual support. As you go through these 100 objects, you see that a large part of them have to do with labor, with working people, with mutual aid, with coming to a common understanding of history, and if I will, almost not stretching it too much, say, self-help and mutual aid. So, Stephanie, this is a wonderful contribution. I'm very happy to bring it to the attention of our Chapel Hill, Carrboro, North Carolina listening audience. Again, 100 objects from the collection of the YIVO Institute for Jewish Research. Stephanie, any last thoughts or comments you'd like to relay to our educated and interested listening audience?
Yes, if you would like to purchase this book and learn more and encounter these objects on your own, you can do so by visiting YIVO.org and clicking on Shop, and you'll be able to purchase the book for yourself.
That's right, and I highly recommend it. YIVO is YIVO, that's YIVO.org, and this is your host, Tofu Dave, with another edition of Between the Covers, a literature quickie. We hope to inform, enthuse, and get you back next time for another edition. Stay with us here on Community Radio.